Wisconsin residents are paying record amounts for homes this year. According to last month's numbers from the Wisconsin Realtors Association, the state's median house price is nearly $295,000. At the same time, home sales are down by more than 20%. Interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve are raising mortgage costs, and the construction sector nationally is lagging behind demand. I want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you bought or sold a home lately or decided not to? Share your experience. How do you feel about the state of the housing market? Realtors, what are you seeing in your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kurt Paulson is a professor of urban planning at UW-Madison's Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture. Kurt, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I talked to you just over a year ago. At that point, you described Wisconsin's housing affordability as a five-alarm fire. Are things looking any better or worse now compared to then?
Well, yeah, I remember that. And I'm wondering if we can coin a term, a seven or eight alarm fire. Because when I talked to you last year, mortgage interest rates were about 5.7%. Now they're up to 6.7%, right? And as you pointed out, house prices in Wisconsin have jumped $25,000 to $40,000 in some markets since last year. So in many ways, things have gotten worse. It is still a seller's market. We hear stories of all cash offers well above listing price. You know, the peak home buying months are April, May, and June. And as you pointed out, sales are way down and prices are way up. So for people looking to buy a home, it's tough out there.
What is driving the costs of the houses up right now?
So there's a couple of factors that all come together. Right. So that we have seen that even though interest rates have gone up, there's still tremendous demand for housing, oftentimes by people who are older and have enough income to pay in cash. And so demand for housing has not really declined, even though interest rates have gone up. But one of the largest drivers is just a lack of inventory. So there's the short term and there's the long term. In the long term, we just have not built enough housing over the last 15 years to keep up with demand. And in the short run, in the last 2 years, the cost of construction has gone up about 35%. So when it costs a lot more money to build a new house, then the price of existing housing goes up. And I would say that the other challenge is that when interest rates were really low during the COVID pandemic, people like me refinanced our mortgages well below 3%. So many of us are stuck. There's no way that we could afford to move or sell and then have to take an interest rate closer to 7% when our current rate is below 3%. So it's really multiple factors that lead to just incredible demand, a lack of supply, and not a lot of movement in housing.
You mentioned those cash buyers. Often people established economically, they can come and buy a house, not worry about those mortgage interest rates. Now, does this end up hurting maybe that first-time home buyer who hasn't built up that equity in an older house or however they're paying for it and is at the mercy of our current mortgage rates? Are they the hardest hit here?
Absolutely. And so particularly anyone who's trying to use a like an FHA or a VA loan, is going to lose out to an all-cash buyer. And all-cash buyers can afford to have no contingencies on financing, and they usually can pay over asking. So, yeah, we are seeing this particularly in Wisconsin and nationwide, that it's millennials who are competing against baby boomers for the same housing, and the baby boomers are winning. And that assumes that the millennials have been able to save enough for a down payment, which is oftentimes not the case. So it's really impacting first-time home buyers much harder than kind of move-up or second-time home buyers.
Let's talk about the construction side of things. I was looking at a longer-term chart of construction, new house construction. No surprise, after the Great Recession hit 2008, 2009, that plummeted. That went way down. Are we still feeling the gap left by that post-recession reluctance to build houses that weren't going to be worth as much as they had been 2 years before?
Absolutely. So, you know, before the Great Recession, we used to build about 35,000 housing units per year in the state of Wisconsin. But in the last 3 years, we've only built about 21,000 a year. So even on a per capita basis, we are way down in terms of what we have been able to produce over the last 15 years. In fact, last year, 2022, building permits in Wisconsin were down, even though our demand is up. That's largely driven by some of the difficulties for developers of ownership or rental housing to secure financing. So the other factor I think we should mention is that banks have significantly tightened lending to developers for building new housing, largely driven by some of the scares that we had a few months ago from the Silicon Valley Bank crisis.
Kurt Paulson is with us, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison's Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture, looking at the housing market in Wisconsin. With high prices, mortgage rates going up, low turnover, it's a perfect storm in all the bad ways. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you been looking to buy a home? Success? Or still looking? What are the obstacles you're facing? If so, have you sold a house lately, or have you looked around in the market and decided, hey, I guess I'm better off staying with this lower mortgage rate for a while now? Join in with your experiences or your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Kurt Paulson, urban planning professor at UW-Madison, looking at the state of Wisconsin's housing market. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do things look like in your neck of the woods? Whether you're looking or you know people who are, is it easy to find and buy a home? Difficult? How's rent looking if you're in the rental market? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Dave is with us in Chippewa Falls. Dave, hi.
Hi. Hi, thanks for having me on. So I'm a home inspector here in Chippewa Falls, and I'm seeing a lot of first-time home buyers that are making offers, and they're afraid to put a home inspection contingency because they're afraid they won't get the house. And yet the only thing that is in their price range are usually really old houses if they're small, especially. And we haven't built small houses for a really long time unless it's a condo. And condos are overpriced for a lot of these first-time home buyers. And so I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that.
Dave, thanks for the call. A lot of news from the field there, Kurt. What do you think?
Yeah, Dave is exactly right. As I talked about before, when you're facing an all-cash buyer, and you're trying to compete for that more affordable housing product, it's usually an older housing unit. And if you put an inspection contingency on your offer, which, you know, I think anyone in the business would tell you, you should get a house inspected by someone like Dave, who can help you figure out if the furnace is going to go bad or if the roof is going to leak. And that's what we used to do all the time, is put an inspection contingency on a home purchase offer. You know, sellers are going to choose the offer that has no contingencies. And so, as Dave pointed out, people are buying older homes without an inspection, and then they're hit with all sorts of surprises and expensive repair bills. And there's really not a lot we can do about that right now until the housing market cools off again, right? We think that the balance between sellers and buyers is usually about equal when there's about 6 months of supply on the market. And right now we have less than 3 months of supply. So, you know, a lot of caution for buyers purchasing older homes. I don't know if there's much we can do about it.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Judy now in Madison. Judy, hello.
Hi. A friend of mine from Tennessee was saying that a private equity company has bought up about a quarter of all the houses in a suburb of Nashville. And I wondered if private equity companies are busy in Wisconsin as well, buying up houses for whatever.
Judy, thanks for the call. I've talked to a reporter in years past, Kurt, about at least some of that going on in Wisconsin, in the Milwaukee area, I believe. How common is that, though, for private equity firms to be buying up housing here in the state?
Well, and so just to put this in context, when a private equity firm is buying up housing, they're usually buying in bulk, and then they're intending those to be rentals, not for ownership. And our friends in Milwaukee have noticed an uptick of private equity companies buying houses in bulk in Milwaukee, but it's still a reasonably small component of the market, even in Milwaukee. I think it's at most 2 or 3%. But this is a big issue and a concern, particularly in a lot of our more southern and East Coast states, where, you know, first-time home buyers, lower to moderate-income home buyers, are priced out because they can't compete with all-cash offers, whether it's from a baby boomer or from a private equity company. So it really, in tight markets, it can drive up prices a little bit, and also just limit opportunities for your first-time home buyers.
And Judy, thanks for the call. You can look at our archives for a discussion with author Aaron Glantz, author of the book Home Wreckers, who looked into this issue. This is a couple of years back. Dave joins us now in Toma. Dave, hi.
Yeah, hi. I'm on a quest to end urban sprawl, and I want to know what he thinks of this condensed housing and shopping they're putting in the notion, if that could be possibly a good trend for the future.
Dave, thanks for the call. I think a lot of downtowns are seeing this kind of thing, Kurt. Commercial downstairs, residential for, you know, 2, 3, 4 floors up above that. Is this a wave of the future? Is it going to help meet our housing needs?
Yeah, absolutely. So to Dave's comments, you know, for 70 years, we built our cities where we would segregate the office and employment land uses from the residential land uses, mm-hmm. which forces everybody to drive and creates the sprawl that Dave was talking about. But one of the big trends in housing now is converting these vacant office or retail parcels, because we have a declining demand for office and retail because of e-commerce and work from home, and an opportunity to convert some of those older campuses to a mixture of housing and jobs and retail. In fact, the state legislature recently passed a bill in a series of bills to expand housing supply, and one of those would help to create a $100 million fund to convert commercial land uses that are vacant to housing opportunities. So for many of our cities, whether a suburb or a smaller town, converting some of the vacant retail and commercial space to housing helps to attract customers, helps to replenish your tax base, and helps to provide a variety of housing opportunities in a kind of smaller scale, walkable, Main Street sort of format.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. Now, Kurt, earlier you used the phrase, you know, when the housing market cools down, what would it take for the housing market to cool down?
Well, that's the problem, is I don't think it's going to cool down. Because if construction costs are one of these long-term drivers of housing prices, until we can get construction costs back to what used to be close to normal, housing is going to continue to be expensive. And it's like we're stepping on the gas and the brakes at the same time, because we have this huge demographic surge of millennials who want to buy homes, and there's nothing for them to buy. So I don't see the housing market cooling off anytime in the next 2 or 3 years. I see that the Fed will likely raise interest rates probably once or twice more this year, and that has done nothing to decrease housing prices. The rate of growth has slowed a little bit, but unfortunately, housing prices tend to ratchet up quickly, and they're very slow to go back down.
Assuming, Kurt, we see it as a positive goal to make housing more affordable. I think a lot of people would agree with that as a good goal.
Yes.
Are there measures you could see a federal government, a state government, even a local government taking to help accomplish that?
Right. And so, you know, I think it would be worth pointing out that last week the state legislature passed and the governor signed in a bipartisan fashion about 5 bills, all designed to address the shortage of housing and workforce housing in Wisconsin. And the Joint Finance Committee's budget includes about $500 million for these. And so that's a great down payment from the state to address these issues. I know that there's a lot of legislation at the federal level, but there's also the federal budget challenges. At a local level, it involves communities really inventorying their zoning and other policies to make sure that, you know, that kind of smaller scale entry-level housing product can be built in your community, and working with developers to both expedite the process, but also to provide financial assistance to build more housing that's accessible and attainable for moderate income families. But it's a real challenge because, you know, you've got to bridge that gap between how much it costs to build a unit of housing and what people can afford.
In just our last minute or so, Kurt, I know there's not a magic answer, but for that millennial perspective, first-time home buyer we've been talking about in this tough situation, any thoughts, advice, or reassurance you might give them?
Boy, I'd hate to give kind of false reassurance, but the best you can do is to make sure your credit is clean, that you've gone through home buyer education counseling, that you're working with a real estate realtor, and that you know how much you can afford. And I guess the other advice to millennials is to warn your parents that if they don't fix the housing market, you might be moving back in with them. And maybe that will scare people into action.
Kurt, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That's Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison's Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture. He joined us with a look at the latest on the housing market here in Wisconsin.